constructed that a little bit, a good way. Some verses have your hearts connecting with the Lord and some personalities. Book that was published one time in 1978. Turned into the Mommy Heroes by Christina Crawford, who was adopted by Kenny Thatcher's Joan Crawford. And so Joan Crawford had a public persona of being high and but in the story, Christina relayed stories where she was physically and emotionally abused. And occasionally, in our lives, we find that parents are just not that interested. Oh, mom. So when you see a mom who's not that interested in their child, just wonderful. People that I think about, they're more interested in themselves, not so much the child. And so the child will never feel connected. Parts of our personal attachment. And as I was worshiping and feeling hearts connect, and some hearts not so connected, I go, Lord, isn't that the saddest thing? We sing to you, or we are in person to you. For those who don't feel connected, we don't even sing on Sundays. Even this morning, I was preparing for church. I saw just people coming in and all of my songs. And they've already gotten out of not engaging in worship. They just have to go from there. There's no moving forward to plumb the meat. There's an absence of that. It's more, oh yeah, let's fall into church. Let's not be too late to be a little bit late. And let's just kind of go through. So as I was praying about that scene this morning, What tragedy? And even in the music and people were getting loud, I thought, my goodness, people are having a hard time. Again, it's not the majority of you, but just a few of you. You're going to be in for a chapter, then I looked and heard the voice of many ages, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, there's going to be tremendous noise, celebration. In the stadiums of the largest sporting events, their noise will be like a drop in the bucket. I mean, they will be barely discernible, decibel level, and heaven's going to blow out everyone's ears without blowing out the ears, the ceiling. So here's the greatest day of the week. That is our time to gather. This is the day that we all should look forward to be with God's people, to worship the Lord, to give Him glory, to enjoy His name. My sister is such a good daughter to my mom. My mom said, before she died, make sure you take John and his family out of dinner. They decided once a month, really nice restaurants. So, and I don't like my sister spending too much money, so I got a little bit upset prior to the event. And then, told her, my sister got mild with John, she had set aside some money, and she has a take out John's family once a month, really nice Christmas. And so we meet outside beautifully. Really enjoyed that. Felt like I was in Paris. Yesterday was a big day. And I also blessed by our presence, the dogs and our dog. We enjoyed it. It was very lovely. And that thought occurred to me even today. The thought is that an exception to the rule, like life is really stressful, and that every once in a while there's sort of a pleasant, enjoyable, sunlit day, and then go, oh, this is worse than that kind of moment we've ever perceived in our lives. time to stress and make become exceptions, but and I felt highly gently convicted, life in Jesus should be life, a beautiful dining time where you're relaxed and enjoying God, you've got nothing to worry about, the best items that the restaurant makes. Well, offer that in the joy. And the Lord has so much for us. We have so much story about who we are and who God is. I think it's almost opposite. So we had an amazing weekend last week. It was amazing. Amazing in many ways. One of which was we had friends who pulled in from all over the place. Korea. John Go. And Helen's brother took off Monday afternoon to stream, and he stayed extra so that the mission of the church. But he himself came on Saturday. And our dear friend Danny, he is a saint, he's a minister, he is like a living St. Francis. And he kind of acts like a fish. He's all clown. I've seen him in any contact with him. He does it very important, right? It doesn't matter what situation he's in. When I first saw him in Macedonia, serious people, he's on the floor. He's the only one on the floor. And when I first met him, it's just like day one, I go, my goodness, he's the light of my life. The Lord will just strike him no matter where he is. And that's how he lives. And some of you got touched by his ministry. He's so much better than me. He's like praying for people. I'm looking at him like, that's like 30 minutes. You know, gently go over, he's still praying. So I first in Boston and he and Linda and other people went to the master tree. And he told me, you can ask for prayers, you want to ask for prayer. And I said, Danny, you do something that I have a hard time. And that is, he takes every person seriously. I gotta be careful how I say that. I'm not like that. But he's all there. He's all there. It doesn't matter who you are. There's no like preference between your pastor so and so or who you pray. It doesn't matter who you are. Young person like Serena. It could be a little kid. It doesn't matter who you are. He loves you. It's all there. And he will not rush things, and he won't let pressure get through the prophetic stuff. They're like, Lord, give me a word, give me a turn. How long's he pray? But he'll find his way. You know how he prays. I have prayed different things in our ministry time. He's never in a rush. He never wants to get pre-made meal. Like, oh, okay, here's four or five items from the menu here. He's not like that. He'll just pick up from scratch. Wait, Lord, just go and settle in to what the Lord wants to say to you. Very humble. He's a man of love. He's a man of love. And so, ours from JW is a man of love. So, he's a tremendous man. And so he was with us. The Brunsons were with us. The Adam Glenn were with us. And we didn't take advantage of that strange gathering to spend the time about an hour and a half. What was highlighted was something that was highlighted in the retreat, and that is in the Glory House, the river, God makes friendship and he sends people by. If you look at the life of Paul, he did not do things on his own. It's not like he had one encounter with Jesus and it was in Jesus. It wasn't about Paul needed friends. And even his first sort of sending was the Jerusalem church saying, Barnabas and Saul, you guys go check out Antioch. Check out what the Holy Spirit is doing in this region, where it's a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, we are hearing reports of the Holy Spirit has fallen upon even Gentiles and are speaking in tongues. Which is a shorthand way of saying they are being God's kingdom without becoming Jewish. This is pretty radical. Paul, why don't you and Barnabas check that? And then while he's there ministering over here, they're in prayer and the prophet named Agabus comes and tells Paul what's going to happen. He'll be chained and be canonized and better. So Paul gets sent out from the church to Antioch. People recognize his calling. So Paul is sent out to Silas and then later on Barnabas. Each time he's done with the missionary tour, he comes back to Antioch, getting replenished and refreshed. He gets to be commissioned, go out again. So when we do ministry, even in the church, it's really through friendship. It's through people that you love. It's through friendship. And it doubles our joy because we can be working for a good company and appreciate coworkers, but it's different when you're working with family members and friends. Because the ties are much deeper. It's not just work. It's a relationship of affection. You're my friend, you're my sister, you're my brother, Lord. And so even if ministry calling disappears, the person is still there. That person is still appreciated. And I just felt like during our time, five of us, and he said, hey, you're fine. I felt like the Lord was connecting hearts. Especially about leaders. And then the revelation I got was when the glory comes, people need the strength of country to carry the glory and the challenge. It's almost like team building. You are part of the Navy SEAL, you want to make sure the team is tight so that when the challenges come, there is mutual trust and love that they can fight for one another. But team building is there. I just felt that in the coming days. More God's power will come, but some challenges will come as well. And as these friendships are formed, we're being on each other. And I feel like the Lord wants to invite you to that as well. So pay attention to how the Lord is forming relationships. I think a big part of it is preparation for the good. Mountaintop experience and some values too. If you need friends, especially when there's some challenging times, if you can pull on the strength of people who pray for you, who love you unconditionally, then you are the journey. But if you don't have this friendship, you don't have heart to move. The enemy is great at dividing the time, separating you, making you feel isolated, making you feel like you're all alone, and then fall into a cycle of depression. It happens all the time. So enjoy the Lord, enjoy each other, drink the wine. I'm going to point the phrase, maybe somebody else pointed, but this is going to be the theme. I'm going to say it once. Wine flows, has its blood first. This is sort of a takeoff on 1 John 4:19 is we love as he first loved us. Disciples of Jesus start, we are able to love God and other people because he first loved us. The wine flows, the joy, the healing, the celebration flows, and it's going to flow in increasing measure. The wine's flowing because he, Jesus, his blood first flowed. It's not just a party. It's a party, it's a banquet because someone gave the price. Someone suffered and gave his life so that the water would flow, so that the river would flow, so that the wine would flow. So our enjoyment is never disconnected from the process. It's centrally connected to Jesus. So that deepens our appreciation. The wine flows because his blood first flowed. And so this past weekend was awesome. Yesterday, it's one of those things. If I go to an event and it's so slow, I'm just glad I didn't make a notice. I didn't thank God and send out an email. People came out and they reached the time. But yesterday was the opposite. This is like our fifth year hosting the South Sabbath Symposium, Leland Seminary, the Rice Bay Ministry of the Lord's Day Alliance, Long Main. And yesterday on 9 to 11:30, speaker Travis. There's another Travis in the world, Travis West. He's a young professor of Hebron, which is from Wesley Seminary in Holland, Michigan. I came up above, and I'm listening. I wish I had sent an email. But people come and listen. This is life changing, and it's connected to the theme of the retreat. That God invites us to rest, to connect, and to delight in Him. And the day that's carved out for that joy and delight and refreshment is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath day, like any. Hebrew day starts not at sunrise, it doesn't start at midnight, it starts at sunset. So how do we start off the day? With a dinner, storytelling, with appreciation. Then after that, what? Sleep. There are so many things, and it's so gratifying countercultural. The biggest weapon of the enemy in our society is hurry. Review of time, there's so much to unpack. I'm not going to be talking about it today. Carl Jung, next to Freud, the next important person in psychology, psychiatry, said hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. Corey Ten Boom says that if the devil can't make you be bad, he will make you busy. There's just a profound statement. Even our metaphors for time. Time is a line. So everything's going forward. What's missing is a century. That's not the biblical view of time. Time is a clock, and we appreciate time. Like my calendars, it's blocked up, you know. Third, time is money. That Satan made things by Ben Franklin. Time is money. And this metaphor is really shape our view of time. And then even believers are trapped by these pictures of time. And we have a hard time setting ourselves free. The time is a flower. The daisy, you follow the petals and you come back to the center. Jesus is the center of the fireworks time. Time is a labyrinth. You walk and you get close. There's one way, it's not a main. My eye. The middle of that I like the most is time is a brother. Even in Hebrew, the verse. So in our language, so you face the future, but in Hebrew, idioms speak back into the future. So they have the robot. What you see clearly is your past. And so back into the future is the posture of trust. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to lean in. So Mark was talking, when the video is ready, I will send that to you. And so I go, wow, this is so good. So, but it goes back to the purpose of creation. Why did God create the universe? Why did God create humanity? Us to be productive, to work, because we're going to. God, though his infinite in power, somehow lacks that little extra power to make things happen. Like, what's the purpose? Well, God doesn't have any needs. He's full of joy and love, full of freedom. He is so great, he wants to share his greatness with us. Each is all, I'm seeing. Earth of creation, so that we would know God. That frames even the creation's birth. We are not workers. We are not creation. We are beings of the enjoyers, lovers of God. Not once in a while, all the time. So there's a theme of enjoyment or even abundance. As I shared before, caught my attention a few weeks ago, I was crying and I thought it was over thing. People do not know who I am, do not really know what kind of life I have. So the theme from John 10:10, I have come to give life and to give life in its fullness or in its abundance, its parasos. And this kind of theme is is also echoed in Psalm 23, verse 5, my cup runs over. So when God creates us, when he creates us to enjoy him, it's not like he's a technician. Just right, he's got the, you know, titration just right, the lab, you don't want to waste any chemical or liquid, just right. God doesn't function that way. He is the overflowing, overabundant, too much, generous, look crazy God. Hey, my young son is back. Kill the fattened cat. Maybe you just order something from Popeyes. I think, you know, like given what he did, this is not to celebrate like it. God is not like that. He overdoes things. Why does he overdo things? Because it's in his nature. He's abundantly generous. And that makes him laugh. And that gives him delight. It's like how Esther orders Chinese food. I've known her all her life. We're like four of us, and Esther orders for like 20 people. Say, Esther, we don't need another dish. But she knows it's a lot, but it's a way of many cultures. It's a way of saying, listen, you're invited to the table, and there's more than enough. It looks graceful, but whatever you have, you take it home. It's that mentality, that hospitality. Have you been invited out for dinner, and you know the person is a little stingy, so you order the cheap stuff on the menu, and you don't want to eat too much? I don't know if anyone has had that experience. I've had it too. Person doesn't like to spend money, and I love, yeah, I have a chicken. But we're out of steak. It's okay. Anything to drink, I'll have water. Anything you want, just slim, that's good. First is when you dine out with someone who's just generous and they want you to eat, then you feel free, you feel welcome. Yeah, I have that. And I have that. I'll have that too. And then when you order that, like the person is laughing, because the person wants you to eat oil. Well, God is like the eating one. So the Lord wants to bless you more than ever expect, or more than you ever think you deserve. A lot of us are so like we deserve kind of calculus. I do good, and then I deserve this. I work far, and I deserve the promotion. I do amazing, I deserve this reward. And then if you don't do that, I did bad. And to think that way, even with God. So when you do good, you expect him to do something, but when it doesn't come, then you get disappointed. I've been straining away and you didn't even give me a coat. I don't get things according to works. I love you. So it still messes with us. And when we're not doing good and God shows us grace, then we have, some of us have a hard time receiving it. But no, this is not just us. This isn't right. You're entitled to every time something good comes, you go, yeah, I deserve it. We're so messed up in any way. So the goodness of God, the grace of God, is not something you can just start with that. In our economic system, there are producers and consumers. Producers and consumers. That has a profound influence in the way we think. In God's economy, producers and consumers are going to apply. You are lesser or less. Okay, God blesses and God blesses. And so then the question is, why are we blessed? Just because. Just because he loves you. I love this story that I'm going to read. The more I think about it, the more it's rising on my list of favorite episodes in the Bible. I can still imagine the one that I love the most is Jesus encountering the still across Emmaus. Because I'm a seminary person. Jesus comes along, does a little Bible study, hey. Revealing himself in scripture. I think that's still very powerful for me. But this story I'm going to read is equally powerful. It's kind of funny too. It's funny because it's so human, it's so realistic. So this is John 2, verses 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. So on the third day, means it's the third day of the wedding. So a wedding in those cultures would last a week. It's not like a 2-hour ceremony, a nice reception. This is such a big deal. It's a whole family and village. Celebrating. Probably the closest modern version is maybe anywhere. Anyone have any Indian friends or any experience? So on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, one of the guests. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, so embarrassing, it's a shame-based culture. It's like being in a Korean, what? Or if you're at a Korean barbecue, like, hey man, I'm ready. So it's embarrassing, more than anything, it's embarrassing to run out of wine, because that's a symbol of celebration. The mother is embarrassed for the host, it feels bad. So what does she? So she knows like her son's struggle. My mom never did. Hey John, they have no more wine. Be like Jesus from what? No, I don't do that. I'm a pastor, but I don't do it that way. But the mom knows something about Jesus. When he was a kid, he put water and turned into oranges. I don't know what he did. Funny. So Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Not the I can't preach on this to you. Woman, why do you involve me? Like, if I talk to my mom that way, like, even though she has never yelled at me, hit me, scolded me, I think this might be one that she needs. Just definitely slap me. Woman, why are you involved? Mom, why are you getting me involved? My hour has not yet come. So I think if we were talking with Jesus, one area of frustration is like communication. Jesus, do you want bread? God, I'm just ordering for some from to the church. Jesus, would you like bread? You want to pass the salt? Oh, no. You want the salt? No, I'm not. I just want salt. Jesus, you got a flashlight? Okay, I don't know where this is going. And he's always needs to have a different plan, right? The mother of Jesus, bless her heart, Jesus, they ran out of wine. Literally. Woman, don't. Why are you calling me? My hour has not yet come. So the word hour is used in a very specific way in the Gospel of John. It refers to his suffering, death, and resurrection of the hour. K-O-R-I-S, the Greek word is or, pronounced just like Spanish, or, and the word hour. My hour has not yet come. Mary's asking about wine, but initially here he's thinking about what the wine represents. But this is my blood. This is my blood shed for you. He's thinking about, in this instance right here, he's thinking about his blood, his death. My hour has not come. Like a lot of moms, they'll hear the sign and they'll argue. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Like she just. And not that she ignores him, but she doesn't stop and say, my son, what are you talking about? Your power hasn't. Yeah. She, her mind is on the physical need. And so she just sounds. Switching the subject real quick. Do whatever he tells you. Nearby sit six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Then Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they fill them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have stayed with us till now. So this is symbolic. Jars for ceremonial cleansing. Jesus is here, not under the aspect of the old world order. What he's coming to come here is to go beyond the old world of the Jewish law. The new heaven is not just about cleansing, it's not just about purification, it's going to be about celebration. The water cleansing. The wine of salvation. And it's the best because in God's kingdom, all things in God's kingdom is pure. It's the best. At the same level, everything tied to the Messianic age is the best. It's not second rate, it's not mediocre. Joy is the best, the love is the best, the wine is the best, the dance is the best, the music is the best. The celebration is the top. It is the best because that's the only way the Messiah operates. The best. And I'm sure once we're drinking, they go, oh my goodness, like this is the best wine I've ever had. It's the best. And in this culture, they know how this thing works. Bring out the best. So they can enjoy it, and after they drink a little too much, the taste buds, and then they get a little drunk. So if you bring in the cheap stuff later, they can't tell the difference. And it's sort of, wow. This is a bit later in the party, and you're bringing up mess? What's going on? What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. So that's the key thing I want us to think about. This is the first sign of what? To reveal his glory. What is that? I mean, he could have chosen healing. That could have been a revelation of his glory as a healer. He could have forgiven somebody, and that could have been the glory of him as a redeemer, savior. What does this mean? He turns water into wine, and this becomes the first sign that reveals his glory. The center idea of his glory is Jesus himself is glorious, but Jesus himself is the one who brings in, who ushers this new life in celebration. That's the glory. So his glory is attached to joy. Celebration. This is not a funeral. It's not a funeral scene. Our mother said, hey, they ran out of wine. But this is a wedding feast. And so we know Jesus is pictured as the bridegroom, as the groom. And the, when he comes back, there's going to be a big event. It's called the wedding feast. Jesus has many titles, shepherd, Redeemer, but he will be celebrated as our groom. And we are the bride. He calls out from the world, broken world, those who will belong to him forever, and we will celebrate with him forever. And the bridegroom will offer, provide the best wine. Wedding is different than a funeral. Funeral, because a wedding is a start of new life together. A funeral is goodbye. So the glory consists in him being the bridegroom. It's the glory of who he is. And as a bridegroom, what he offers. And what he offers is not judgment. It's not condemnation. What he offers is joy. Life. Life in its fullness. And your job is, guess what? If you want to be a good guest at the wedding, you enjoy the food. You come up and dance. And do the robot, whatever, you know. I've got this on wedding night. People sit there as the bride. Hey, before I'm a pastor, I'm a little nuts, you know. So if there are occasions where you let loose, and that's the appropriate thing. When I was 13, I felt like I was an honorary Jew. I was so many bar mitzvahs. Bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs. And for whatever reason, like Jewish grandmothers like me. And I would dance with them and began. Sometimes Jewish girl liking it. Maybe I'll marry a Jewish girl. And I figured out because I have the same Jewish grandmothers later. But I had a collection of yarmulkes, so the blue one, gold one, black one, silver one. Yarmulkes. I think I was learning Hebrew by osmosis right then. But at the Jewish bar mitzvah, it's fun. They have the music, it's old and young, grandparents, light band, food, meatballs. I mean, it's just like wine. It was like, wow, I had more fun at bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah than I had at the high school prom, which I never went, so, you know. And it was enjoyable. There was nothing weird or off about it. It was just celebration. Lava laughter. So at a party, if you are going to be a good guest, let loose, relax, enjoy. Eat as much as you can. Drink as much as you can. Make sure you get the designated driver. Just drink as much as you can. And enjoy. That's your job. Your job is not to count the cost. Somebody's paying for it. Relax. Relax. Enjoy. Because the host wants you to enjoy That would be the mark of a great celebration, Bar Mitzvah. People going home happy and blessed. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. And his disciples believed in him, verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and disciples. There they stayed for 2 days. Remarkable. The first, it's almost like if they had a holiday, like Jesus, they first day. Jesus, what are you going to do? You're going to raise the dead? Healed sick? Somebody with leprosy? And Jesus, this guy has a lot of demons. You want to do like a mass deliverance? How about some really solid teaching by the teacher of authority? He's got to listen to me. Nah, I'm going to turn water into wine. Excuse me? Yeah, I'm going to go to the wedding celebration. I sort of know what's going to happen, but I'm running out of wine. I better sense my mom still running and caring, so she's going to come father. Son, yes. Woman. Mother, why you love them? This is his first miracle. It has some weight to it. First miracle. First, like, public message about who he is. What his heart is like. He's more than a healer. More. He heals. He forgives. He's a bridegroom. There's going to be a wedding banquet. This event is prophetic, prolific, meaning it's something that happens now, but it's really a sign of the future. The big wedding isn't this, it's a sign of the future wedding, and we're still awaiting that. But the wine still flows. It's not like you're parched, we have no wine, and then when Jesus comes back, we have a lot of wine. No. This was a true miracle for them. They actually enjoy the wine. And so spiritually, the wine flows today. It flows in different measures, different degrees, depending on your readiness. I mean, think about it. You are in wine, there are liquor stores, wine stores all around. If you want nice wine, you could actually drive and order wine. It's available. So the wine of Jesus is available. He's not holding it back. And so one of the big takeaways from the retreat is that the wine is flowing. The wine is available. And I love Dan's pattern wine. My name is Jim, God bless and loves you, God bless. It's not a glass wine, it's a barrel. First, you got to get strong pickle barrel. If the wine is available. So the question for all of you, all of us, is do you want to drink the wine? Do you want to drink it? Well, what are some reasons? Well, some want wine because they're hungry, actually, for God. Lord, I am hungry for you. And if this is who you are, Jesus, I want more of them. So that's a real good reason. Those who are thirsty and hungry will be filled. Those who ask and seek, knock on the door. You don't ask because you don't ask. And so fundamentally, if you say, I want more of God and I want more of his joy, then that's a ticket. Just sit there and say, I want it. Some of you may assume by faith, okay, that makes sense. I may not have 100, but by faith, I'm going to drink. Some of you will drink the wine as a way of worshiping. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord by drinking. Don't be doing this at weddings. Cheers. Toast. It's a way of honoring the bride of the groom or people of faith. Here's a toast. I celebrate. It's a way of worshiping, honoring. Toast. When we drink wine, we glorify Jesus. they're sad and depressed, you do the opposite of glorifying. This glorify. But if you're filled with joy, overflowing with joy, you are walking advertisement for the goodness of God. I'm praying. I'm going to show people that Jesus is the offering. So you worship. Now, for some of you, it might mean, because the opposite of a joy and celebration is a life full of anxiety, stress, and life is beaten, has beaten you down to be ready. So it doesn't matter if you come to the Lord by need, by worship, by hunger, by faith, come to Him. The wine flows. As his blood first flowed. Well, Lord, what's the purpose? And the answer is, that is the purpose. As I go to the wedding, hey, I didn't ask my sister, but I know how my mom, well, I have asked him. Yeah, so what's the purpose of you taking us out? Do you want something from me personally? The purpose is to enjoy the gift of each other. The purpose is to celebrate and enjoy God's goodness. The purpose is to enjoy what God, who God is. What's the purpose of dancing? Okay, 2 days ago, I spent a lot of money on flowers. The first set of flowers were dry, and so Savannah came out. John, the flowers are dry. I love them. Sure enough, so I was Home Depot, and usually I don't spend much money, but I spent like $45 on 2 flowers. Everyone's right by my house, and Randy's a big one. And as I'm buying them, I'm thinking, like, what's the purpose of flowers? Especially animals. Like, okay, because they bloom and they're dead. Like, for anyone who could have it, you know? What's the purpose of flowers? When someone graduates, you get a bouquet of flowers. A few hours, they're like molting in bed. Why? Why do you buy it? Thoughts are the beauty of flowers helps you celebrate the occasion. It's not for some kind of problem. Thought about that, we would get little real flowers and we just stick with plastic flowers. And so when God created us, He created us to enjoy it. And He's into flowering. He's into wine. He's into celebration. Because that's also an expression of love. One of the love languages is gifts, quality time, words of affirmation. But God's main purpose for people is to celebrate how great it is. And when we enter into that kind of life, we feel so full and stated. We feel so blessed. We said, oh, life is so good. I don't know something. This is best. This is life in its fullness. And Jesus said, exactly. I came to give life and to give it to the poor. Exactly. You give it. So, Father, we just thank you for meeting us last weekend. You met us so powerfully this past Friday, people on the floor on the meeting us today through this message. The Father, we just ask that you would open our eyes to see the glory of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, you would open up our feelings, Lord. And we recognize, Lord, we come before you as you are, for there's nothing to brag about. There's nothing to be depressed about. Just come before you. Because it's your mercy, it's your grace, it's the cross that provides a way for us to step in, step up to you in a bold fashion. Not in an arrogant fashion, but the bold fashion that trusts in the efficacy of the cross. That Jesus, your death works. Your death is sufficient. Your blood was shed, and that blood covers all of our sins, past, present, and future, Lord. There is nothing insufficient. We do not need to add anything. So today we come by faith. We come by faith. We say, Lord, you're the one who provided. We are like a wedding guest. We've been invited, not asked us to host the wedding. We've been invited to your wedding. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we're more than guests. We are the bride. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So Lord Jesus, our bridegroom, we just thank you. We thank you that you're hosting this party, this wedding banquet. And the table is overflowing with delectable, amazing food. From appetizers all the way to the dessert and main courses. There's flowers everywhere. There is the scent of beautiful flowers. There's music. There's people dressed beautifully and laughter. There's an anticipation of more things, Lord. There's an excitement. There's a delight. It is so beautiful. It is so welcoming, Lord. We say, Lord, we are captivated. And we feel a bit overwhelmed by the beauty and the fact that we are in this. And you say to us, this is all for you. You're my servants. You're my friends, but you are also my bride. You are the one that I love. And so, Lord, as good participants of this banquet, help us to loosen our ties, get out of our high heels, relax, enjoy the food, make some toast, enjoy the sun, enjoy each other, and be one to just flow. And your generosity. Who is my love? There's no burden to carry, Lord, as we're just there to enjoy. All the minor anxiety, worries, concerns, those were already left, Lord, as soon as we entered this party. And so, Lord Jesus, you have provided for everything. And it's not just you saving our soul. Delivering life. The life that you had always designed from day one. Actually, day zero in the spirit, your spirit was hovering over the abyss. And the days of creation, the 6 days of creation, when you separated light from darkness, water above and water below, water and land, and day four through six, you filled it. With the moon and sun, the birds and the fish, and the animals and humans, and the biggest event of all, day seven, the mirror of day zero, your presence rested, your presence filled. That presence, Lord, is a presence of joy. It's a presence for your creatures to connect with you, to delight in you. So, Lord, we delight in you. Through the wine of your celebration, the wine of acceptance, we are in the party together. We are here with you, and we want to enjoy our job is to enjoy. That's our job. Joy this party. Enjoy one another. Enjoy you, Jesus, because you have overcome. You died on that cross in a terrible way. Third day, the Father raised you up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Then 40 days later, you ascended, you were exalted. Then 10 days after that, the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. And that pouring out of the Holy Spirit is a pouring out of the wine. And the wine flows. And your church, universal, will glorify you, Jesus, by the wine, by the joy, by the celebration. And so, Lord, for every single one of us, we say, more wine, more of you, more wine. And for those of you who want more, I just want you to drink. You could raise a toast. If you want more, you could use a barrel, pantomime. Drink the wine of his presence. The only qualification is, I want it. I want to drink it. That's the qualification today. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, thank you for suffering for me. Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood. Therefore, the wine is full of enough to drink it. I want to drink the wine of your grace and joy and acceptance and security and delight and peace. Just like real wine has many different undertones and overtones and things, flavors. Profile, Lord, your wine has so many different flavors associated with the profile. So Lord, we want to just savor the sweetness and sharpness and the deep flavor of your one of love and grace and joy, your loyalty, or whatever flavors that you want to experience, we ask that you would help us experience. Today, for our job is to enjoy. Other things we'll take care of later by being immersed in the wine, by being in the ministry of the wine, the ministry of joy. From that point of view, from that perspective, we're going to address the issues. From the perspective of joy and celebration, then we can address the issues. But already you are the bright and we just celebrate with you. Be with us, Lord. Amen. If we would all arise from the front of the phone.